flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell, and we are going to tell you what is going on as we get ready for the big game on Sunday. Roger Goodell addressed the media, and he said a bunch of things today. He was asked a variety of questions about officiating, transparency, and he, you know, was asked even if the Chiefs are getting favoritism any way, shape, or form from the officials.
How course, snarky were the reporters?
Well, look, I give the reporters credit, Mike. Right. They pressed him. Even there were great follow-ups, as much as we could see today here in right. studio. But, you know, he does the state of the state or the state of the NFL every year, the week of the Super Bowl, and today was that day. But, you know, he was even asked about the hiring practices, et cetera, all the stuff that we've become accustomed to. But this Chiefs and the refs thing was a big topic.
Right. And I saw some of it with you, and I said, man, I agree. Somebody saying, you know, if I could have been there and said, hey, Commissioner, you know, you talk about the officiating, you say it's the best it's been. How can you, the biggest game of the year to get to the Super Bowl, right? And you've got to play like that Xavier Worthy, which by definition of the very convoluted rule book is not a catch. And even with replay, you guys still can't get that stuff right. The technology, I'd love to ask some questions about the technology. You know, why are we living in an analog world with a 10-yard chain? You know, when everybody else in the pro sports world has some kind of digital technology, which lets you know what's what.
They are looking at the NFL, that is. And again, all this stuff's got to be approved by the competition committee, but it makes no reason not to. They are looking at that, Mike, with the electronic chip in the football and stuff that you talked about. But, you know, it's got to be passed, and that's something that won't happen until next season. But, again, it's available. Meanwhile, the Chiefs general manager, his name's Brett Veach, says that this team, Mike, is built to sustain success. This is not just one more run at the Super Bowl. And I think we, most fans, are all caught up in the fact that they got a chance to three-peat and, like, this thing's over. He's right. Mahomes is still very young, guys, and what the Chiefs have already shown us is they have the ability to rebuild around him right. fairly easy. Now, the good news is, you know, this defense has been good the last few years, and it's something that, you know, the Chris Joneses of the world, those guys don't come along, you know, every year. But the fact is, he says, you know, the historical aspect of us going for a three-peat is cool, but we expect to be in a similar scenario next year competing for a championship. I hate to say it, and this is why I have Chiefs fatigue. They probably will be.
But, you know, two ways of looking at it. Yes, you wish, and first off, you're jealous. Let's start with it right now. You're jealous.
Okay.
Because they're better run than we are.
Okay.
They've drafted better. They've got the secret sauce. They got a guy that's the difference maker.
Yes, you're right about all of that.
Right. And they're not going anywhere because they manage their cap brilliantly.
See, I'm not afraid to admit these things.
Now, the thing is, Tariq Hill, hey, man, they can't win without bye-bye. Bye-bye. And they won't get jammed up by spending big money on receivers, which some teams, that's a philosophical approach. Other teams get sucked into the cap. We got sucked into that.
They just keep throwing guys out there.
The Bengals are. Dolphins, right. They just find dudes. You know, they bring back guys. Kareem Hunt was lost. I bring him back. You know, Mecole Hardman, I bring him back. You know, they just have these guys. You know, I mean, they went. I mean, one of the bigger moves, but it wasn't that big a move. They went and got, who am I forgetting? Q. They got Hopkins. They got D Hop. D Hop came in, and you know, but even then, he's been a difference maker. They just get it done. Now, Kelsey, maybe at some point they'll have to make a hard decision about Kelsey, but he still seems to bring it when it matters most.
And Hollywood Brown too,
right?
I mean, it's crazy. Hardman's on the IR. Rashee Rice is on the IR.
Right. Rashee Rice had the car wreck, then he got hurt.
Yeah, Sky Moore's on the IR. Like all these guys, that's who they won a Super Bowl with last year. All those guys on the IR, and now you got Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster,
yeah.
D-Hop.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like the Patriots, you know, they all of a sudden we had something we'd never seen before, the Tuck rule. That doesn't seem right. Then we found out about, like, the Spygate stuff. Well, that's definitely not right. And then Belichick has got the charisma of, like, a snail. You know, that didn't really help. These guys, to me, I'm lagging behind Carl in the Chiefs' fatigue, but I get it. The rest of the country will at some point go, eh. But, you know, when Jordan's going back, you know, we love that. We talked about the Yankees last week when they were winning World Series.
Mike was different.
Best numbers, Mike.
Did you see that commercial, by the way?
Yes.
Did you see the commercial last night on the Grammys? I don't know if you guys watched it.
No, I saw the ad of a review of it.
So I caught it live. And it's rare that this happens because usually, you know, I record that stuff and I'll go back and watch. And it was on and we were sitting there. And that commercial came up. And, oh, I know you're a big sneakerhead like me. And it caught me. And I'm, like, looking at the television like, what is this? And the whole premise is, what if Nike didn't pay the Jordan fines for the Jordan 1s, which were banned from the NBA? For those who don't know, right. They were too elaborate, the color scheme and all that. You couldn't do that. And so Nike was like, fine, we'll pay it. And the whole thing is, look what it set off. And now, fast forward from like 84 to now, and how sneakers are, you know, coveted around the world. And I was blown away. It was an incredible spot.
On the sneakers app, too, and the Nike app, that's how they're marketing, too. It's the black box over the shoe. The one thing I'm upset about, Carl, those aren't going to retail on the app. They're only going to retail in stores, and they're going to retail for like $250 a pair.
I believe it. I believe it. But yeah, so but Mike, you know, I say that because you're talking about these dynasties and why we feel some way about some and why we feel, you know, some way about others. But yeah, that whole Jordan, and I think it's probably going to be run on Super Bowl Sunday, my guess is, because this was like a preview kind of deal. But if you didn't see it, it just really is cool.
We talked about, you know, the likability quotient. I mean, Andy Reid is certainly a lovable guy. We've talked about the State Farm ads and all that stuff. You see those guys. I just felt with Mahomes, I mean, Mahomes just wins, you know, and I get it. I know now we're talking about all the stuff going on with the ads, but the dude just gets it done.
I'm sick of it.
But, you know, and I like Mahomes because, you know, with the nerdy kind of Kermit the Frog voice and everything, he just gets it done, you know, in a league where it's so damn hard to get there. Lord knows we know. You know, we've only gotten there twice, but I'm not there yet. And Philadelphia, through no fault of the players, because we know there's so many Georgia, you know, Bulldogs on that squad, but the Philadelphia, their juju is bad. It's bad fan juju.
Mm.
So I'll be pulling for the Chiefs one last time, Carl. One more time.
And Mike is right about this. I mean, the hard part to accept, and this is why I'm in my bag. When are we going to get a little bit of this? That's all. Not a whole lot. I don't want a whole lot.
Can I get
a little bit?
Maybe Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land.
I hope.
You know, right now, it's hard to see that because we just came through a very strange season where there were expectations.
Is that what you call it?
Yes, a very strange season. Not the lost season. You know, we had the lost season of 2000.
That's what you call it.
The lost season of 2007, that's when Mike Vick won the Hooskow. That was things we'd never seen before. But this one was like, okay, yeah, but I do believe
can
in
I
Penix.
Ask you something?
But I still don't believe in the – I want to believe the front office can fix the defense, but they haven't been able to do it yet.
Was this worse than us starting 5-0-15 and I'm starting to look ahead?
Well,
or was this worse?
It had a lot of the Dan Quinn-like feelings because this guy's a Dan Quinn guy. There's a lot of similarities to 2015 and where we should –
Was this worse, though?
Yeah.
6-3, the way we had commanded the division.
Yeah, 6-3 with four games in hand in the division.
Yeah, see, Mike, it just feels worse.
Yeah. Nobody starts 5-0 and misses the freaking playoffs. Falcons do.
Well, we did.
So, but that's water under the bridge.
It is.
Now we got to figure out how we get Cousins off. If we can take somebody, if we can find a way. Because a lot of guys keep coming up with, we could trade Cousins in a package for Myles Garrett. We've explained this to you. Like, go back and listen to our interview with Joel Corey. His agent controls this. Guys are like, well, doesn't Kirk want to start? Maybe he doesn't want to start in Cleveland.
I know.
Maybe Kirk has other maybe Kirk wants to go to Vegas, you know, and would like the Falcons to cut him. Guaranteed. Like, guys, we have no leverage. Yes, in a perfect world, some quarterback, heaven forbid, gets hurt somewhere else between the draft and when we have to drop Kurt for the cap hit. But the odds of that are 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah. And by the way, the other part of this, I mean, it goes maybe unsaid or kind of unspoken. If you do cut him, you guys know that number goes up, right? It's like another additional $25 million. And that's another, it's a deterrent from just cutting him and saying, oh, we'll just release him. Like, there's a lot here to say it's smarter, which is what they're telling us, to just keep him on the roster. If that's the worst-case scenario, then that's better than taking this number and having this dead money and not having the guy or the player or anything to show for. So that's what they're saying.
Look, I mean, in a worst-case scenario, which I still don't think he'll be on the roster, but if he is, okay, you've got a tremendous backup. But all the weirdness from last year carries over to this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we still don't even know what the hell happened to him.
Well, Mike, it gets back to when people around the country were saying, oh, they're going to bring back Desmond Ridder. And we were like, you can't.
No.
No. And this was and I hope this doesn't happen. But if Penix had to be relieved for whatever reason, and he runs out there, you're going to have a thing in your gut, in your stomach, not knowing what to expect. Now, he might come out and throw, dimes and dots, but the last time we saw him, I just didn't feel that way. I wasn't confident in what he was doing. So to your point, that does carry over, even though that may be a little bit unfair, because he could go through an offseason, be as healthy as he's ever been, maybe be as accurate as he's ever been, and we'll never see it. Because he won't get the opportunity here.
Right. Now, again, in a perfect world, I said this earlier. I'll say it again. If Terry Fontenot can find a way to get Myles Garrett in here. Now, by the way, remember, nobody wanted to own this. I said this to Carl earlier. I'll just repeat it real quick. We went in for Deshaun Watson when we had basically as worse a cap situation we have this year.
It was worse, yeah.
And the idea was, wow, man, we're really jammed up. Are we willing to mortgage the future? Yeah. I mean, John Chuckery and I were working that day. We're arguing about like three number ones and you got to do it. Never happened, never came to fruition. But when you look at where we're at, you could say if somebody in the organization wants Myles Garrett, the precedent is there. They went for Deshaun. They made a play for Deshaun Watson. Had no chance because the Browns just came in and did something that was unprecedented at that time.
Yeah, they did. And now they're paying the price for it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the idea that you'd be willing to do it. And if you're willing to do it, then that means you're willing to sacrifice whatever it might take, picks, the money that's going to be involved. We don't care. We're all in. Maybe they will be, Mike, but I feel like, and this is where I'm at, and this is why I'm – as much as I'm excited about the opportunity to say, hey, let's get involved in this. Mike mentioned something earlier in the show, but I just feel like this is a part of the turnover of our team and our defense specifically. We got to get younger, more athletic, faster on that side of the ball.